think it just means being true to who you are. And that's the hardest thing we can do. Because sometimes that means facing all the things and going back to, oh my gosh, Maya, and that quote, like that means facing the who you were before you're a butterfly and going through those things. And, you know, we go back to that perfect is boring. It's okay if it was an imperfect story, an imperfect journey, but being living a purposeful life is not one of perfection, is one that is being true to you.
This is Your Purposeful Life, and I'm your host, Adrian Starks. I'm a speaker, podcaster, narrator, writer, and entrepreneur. On this podcast, we're taking a different approach to the understanding of purpose because it's not a one-size-fits-all. There will be a variety of guests expressing their purpose through the human mess we call the human journey. These conversations will guide you to a better awareness and understanding of your unique purpose in the daily life of mistakes, changes, and challenges, and how to put that purpose into action, bringing you more experiences of success, fulfillment, and achievement on your terms. Let's go on this journey of purpose together. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Your Purposeful Life podcast with your host, Adrian Starks. And it is here where we are changing the conversation around purpose. And we want to help you shape your purpose your way. Today, I have a special guest on. Her name is Leslie Logan to the podcast and community. Leslie, how are you doing today, my friend?
Oh, Adrian, I'm great. I'm so excited to be here. And by the way, I just have to say off the top, we have some pretty cool names, like Adrian Starks, like that. It sounds like you should be a superhero of some kind.
You know, I'm blushing, but you don't see it. But I'm blushing underneath all of this here, okay? I love that. All right. Well, this is going to be a fun conversation today. And we're going to talk about self-care isn't selfish care. And we're going to talk about your journey. And we're going to talk about Pilates and how that ties into taking better care of yourself and making yourself first priority. You're going to give us some lessons on that and what tips we can do to improve ourselves. So I'm very excited to go through this with you on the show today. And I want to get back to you, but before we do that, let's get some of this other stuff out of the way here. I want to make sure for our listeners today, you go and download this podcast into your favorite podcast platform of choice by going to our website, yourpurposeful.life. And it is there where you can follow us on social media and also go to our YouTube channel and subscribe, as we will have these videos present there. Hit that notification bell with a purpose. I mean, like you mean it. Because we're going to have weekly episodes coming out, and I don't want you to miss out on that. Now, getting back to the special guest of the hour, Leslie Logan. And I do like your name, too. It's like a superhero thing, too, as well. So Leslie Logan, she's a certified Pilates teacher, habits and mindset coach, and is the founder of OnlinePilatesClasses.com, Profitable Pilates, and host of Be It Till You See It podcast. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later today. She's been teaching Pilates for over, I would say, 14 years now. She started back in 2008. She has run multiple studios, trained hundreds of people, and become teachers themselves, and has taught thousands of students around the world. And when Leslie is not teaching, coaching, or helping others, she's recording her podcast and leading retreats around the world. Leslie, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. All the things I love talking about.
Yeah, we are happy to have you here. And we're going to talk first today about this idea. You have a special tagline that you say is perfect is boring. And I believe you. And I'm sure that some listeners are going to be like, well, I don't know about all that. But we're going to get into that because I think that is something worth noting here. And why do you think perfect is boring? What's your concept on that?
Well, I'm a recovering perfectionist and overachiever.
I am too.
And I think, like, just to go to like the why your listeners are here, perfection, trying to be perfect in things that you do, is actually going to take you away from purpose, because you're going to noodle away at something, never put it out there because it's not perfect. And so you're actually not meeting your purpose. But the reason I say perfect is boring is, like, I think of, like, when I grew up, nothing about my family was perfect, you know, like nothing about school was perfect. I lived in a small town and didn't have any money. And I looked at these people that I thought were perfect. And the reality is, as soon as I started to infiltrate these groups where I thought the people were perfect and amazing, if I could just know them, they were really boring. Sometimes they were just downright nasty people. And I was like, this is not fun. And when you go to perfect people's houses, so I used to be a Pilates instructor who went to people's houses in LA, and they're lovely people, and they have these perfect houses, right? Like, the neighbor is LeBron James, like amazing talking houses. Mm-hmm. And it's just boring. You're afraid to like touch anything. I was like, can I put my purse on the floor here? Like, should it be on a hook? Like, do you know what I mean? So like when we're around perfection, it actually makes everything kind of uneasy. It doesn't make you shine the way you're supposed to, which means that we all become pretty boring people. So that's why I believe in it. There's several different reasons and it does hold us back.
I do like that. And I agree too, that perfect puts us into, I would say, a box where we're not able to be as flexible or even learn anything or express ourselves even more fully. And back to this idea about you being in LA and going to people's houses, being next to LeBron James. I mean, that's freaking awesome. I don't know why they're boring. You know, I was like, they need to figure something out. Go talk to him or go have a party or something. You know, I mean, if you're going to sit around like that, it's like, hey, let's trade places.
That's your neighbor.
Yeah, right. Let's trade places. Yeah, go say hi, you know. And so that is great. That is amazing. You mentioned, too, that you're from a small town that was boring. Where are you from?
So not to knock it. I'm sure people love it. But I'm from Lodi, California, which is outside the Bay Area. A lot of people commute from Lodi to the Bay Area, which is an awful commute. It's at least 90 minutes without traffic. So just imagine these people having to be in 2+ hours of traffic every day. But the town was either like old money farmers or no money. And that's fine. I mean, we all learn something. I definitely am who I am because I came from what I did, but I never really felt like I belonged. And I couldn't wait to leave. Like, I just couldn't wait to leave. And I thought, you know, I thought high school would be better, and that was not better. And then I thought college would be better, and I did leave for college. It wasn't really better. But along this journey, I just started to kind of figure out who I am and what is interesting now, because I've gone back and I definitely don't belong now either. But I can also attest to that it's not the town's fault that it was boring. It's not like it is what it is. It was my relationship with myself that really cast its own spell around how I felt about that space. And so I felt like getting to know myself more, getting to recover the perfectionist and things like that allows me to go, that is what it is. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It just wasn't for me.
Oh, I like that. I love that story too. So that small town really changed some perspectives for you. And it puts you on this journey of finding or creating your purpose. And how do you want to not be boring, so to speak, and create some type of an adventure in your life. And speaking of adventure, Leslie, you know, you've been in Pilates in the industry for over 14 years, and you've traveled the world teaching retreats. Where are some of your favorite places that you've been to?
Okay, so I am a unique teacher in the Pilates world in that one of my teachers was Joseph Pilates' client. So in the world of Pilates, I teach a lot of teachers around the world. And then because of who I used to teach as a client, I've had some really amazing clients. So I've actually been able to live both sides of a Pilates teacher's world. And I travel to teach a lot of teachers and also to run retreats. And I will say Cambodia has my heart and I do retreats there every year, except for obviously during the pandemic. But we run a retreats out of our house there. And I really love that. I feel like one of my purposes on this planet is to help people see parts of this world that are so different than the world they live in, because we get so much perspective. It really does quiet the chatter when you are out of your element and you're in a space of like, wowness is the word that's coming to me. But like when you're in front of those 1,000-year-old temples and you're like, wow, this is bigger than me. Like this is, it's survived so long. It kind of helps you put things in a little bit perspective. So if we take Cambodia out of it, I have traveled some cool places. I've been to Poland. I've been to Amsterdam, done UK a few times. New Zealand is beautiful. It is such a cool space and I can't wait to go back there. And of course I really did love the Gold Coast of Australia, but,
But doesn't New Zealand have like the Manuka honey? Is that where it's from? I love that honey, by the way.
Yeah. And that Manuka balm will like heal any wound you have.
I can get some of that.
Yeah. It's cool. They also have an insane amount of birds and they have like a sanctuary for these birds. And it is the most amazing place to go. And then they have this like prehistoric lizard. It literally looks like a dinosaur that's still alive there. And I'm a bit sad because I had this crazy bird that I wish we all could have experienced in our lifetime. But it's a cool place. I really love it. I get to start traveling again for work now. And so I'll be going to Korea next year and back to Cambodia and some other places. So if you haven't spent time traveling, I know it sounds expensive. I know it sounds like it's hard to do, but try little trips, places, and get yourself out, because it really does. If you don't know what you're supposed to do in this world, or you don't know how to do it, getting out of your elements is really going to be helpful.
I love that philosophy and I agree with you, and we should be buddies. Seriously, because I have, this is the concept I have too about getting out there and seeing the world and seeing things from different perspectives. When I traveled, I've been to Italy, I've been to Africa. And when I was in Africa, I had a great experience I want to share quickly here, where one morning I woke up and I was with a hosting family. And I went into the bathroom and I saw these buckets of water everywhere. And I'm like, something's going on with the plumbing here. I'm going to go ahead and talk to them about that. So I'll go out in the living room and they're like, what's going on? I said, well, there's something going on in the bathroom. And they said, what do you mean? I said, there's buckets of water everywhere. And they said, oh, you're such an American. That is for your shower. And I'm like, what? That's for a shower for me? They were like, yes, that's for you. And here's the funny thing. About a week later after being there, I got used to it. I didn't think about the shower head anymore. So when I came back to the States here, it made me so much more appreciative of what I did have. And that was the purpose of being there, was figuring out what things are the simple things that I can appreciate when I come back here. And that was probably one of the greatest things I've ever learned, is about the power of whatever you have, wherever you are, make it effective. And a lot of us, like you said, trying to be perfect, have everything the way they, you know, in a certain linear state, that takes you away from thinking outside the box and experiencing life. Now, as far as experiencing goes, your Pilates journey I want to talk about here. What was your first encounter with Pilates and how did that path start for you?
Yeah. Okay. So this is a really fun question to answer, because if you are like, ugh, Pilates, that's not for me. I thought the same way too. I definitely like, I was running a high-end accessory shop in South Coast Plaza, which is Orange County, big mall. Like, thought I was such a cool person. I mean, I probably was, but I really thought like I'd hit the top. I'm going to work in retail. I'm going to be in fashion. Like, it's going to take me somewhere. And, but I needed a friend, because the college that I went to, everyone got married and moved back home. And I was like, oh, well, I'm not new here anymore, but I feel very new because I don't have any friends. So this girl I worked with, she was like, hey, come to a Pilates class with me. And I was like, that's so stupid. It can't, like, that's a bunch of BS. It can't do what it says. It's infomercial workout. That's what I thought. Cause it was on the infomercials, right?
That's my take on it too, before I learned more about it.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're all, so if you're like nodding your head, like, yeah, that's true. It is not true. Yeah. You gotta try it out. So I went to the class, cause I was like, well, we'll go to class and then we'll become friends and I won't have to ever go again. And I fell in love with it. In the first few exercises, I felt parts of my body I never felt before. And I need you to know, I was an athlete. So I definitely was, I had a personal training certificate. Like, I knew how the body worked, thought I knew it all. And I had never felt these muscles like deep in my core that I was feeling. And I left with this, like, I mean, every workout gives you a dopamine kick, but I left like I could take on the world. Like, normally when you leave the gym, you're kind of like, well, I'm exhausted. I'm sweaty. Yeah. I need to go like lay on the couch. And I was like, I want to do this every day. So I actually changed, because I ran the store. So I changed the work schedule so I can go every day. And I moved to Los Angeles. I got transferred to another location. And I was looking for a Pilates instructor, but LA is very expensive, just in general, just the cost of living there. So I could only afford to go to this one lady once a week. And I was like scraping pennies together to get there. And she suggested I become a Pilates instructor. That's how I got, like, literally someone's like, you should do this. And so I did, thinking it would be my side hustle. That was back in 2008. And actually what ended up happening is I got so busy teaching. I got so known in LA teaching that I had to quit my safe retail job, which we all know how that ended in 2008 anyways, and go down this Pilates career. And that, it's so funny because people are like, what did you want to be when you grew up? Not a fitness instructor. I can tell you that. That was not like something that like hit my mind.
Didn't crush your mind. Yeah.
No, it did not. But like, what is so crazy is I am a Pilates instructor who does travel the world. So it's so funny how people want to put things in boxes. You never think that like, okay, if I became this, I could do all these things. You can do whatever you want. You just have to figure out what that is and get really clear. But that's my journey to teaching. I definitely made fun of it and then fell in love with it. And now I want everyone to do it.
Isn't it amazing how things work? I mean, all it takes is one person to suggest something for you and you to consider it and to try it out. And then who knows what the universe will provide following that. I'm a big believer in those things. And that's what you were saying back to perfect is boring. If you were like, well, I love my retail job here, and no pun intended to anyone who's working retail, we've all been there, and I'm not saying anything about your job or your boss or anyone. But if you really want to try something different, then you're going to have to get outside that perfection perspective. And that's going to get open up more opportunities for you, just like what you're doing now, Leslie. You're traveling the world, you have online courses, you're helping people find that purpose within themselves when it comes to self-care. And I love that about you. Now, we're talking about Pilates, but for the people who are listening today, and there's a lot of them, what is Pilates actually? What the hell is it? And is it different from yoga?
Yeah.
What is Pilates?
Okay, so I love answering this question because I actually think there's a lot of debunking and myth busting we got to do around this. Because a lot of people think, first of all, Pilates is for women. And specifically, if you look Pilates up, you're going to see a lot of pictures of some skinny white women doing Pilates. And the truth is that Pilates was designed, created by a man for men. Because back in the 20s, y'all, ladies weren't allowed to work out. They thought it would make us infertile. They didn't want you run the marathons, even like close to like the 70s or 80s.
Hold on for a second. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to that. What in the 20s, they thought that would make women infertile? Oh,
women were not allowed to work out. They would get hair on their chests. They become like men. Even like in my lifetime, a woman tried to run the Boston Marathon. She went under her boyfriend's name. She qualified under a man's name. And they saw her running the marathon and security was trying to chase her down. Like only recently did they start to think that like it was okay. It's so crazy. So anyways, Pilates was designed by a man for men and there was like a lot of boxing involved, a lot of gymnastics involved. And you can see some of the yoga moves in the Pilates world, just as far as like some Warrior Ones and things like that, specifically when you get on a reformer. But Pilates is specifically a strength-based workout designed to balance your body. So balance your imbalances. We all have muscles that are more dominant than others. That's where injuries come in. If you love sports, y'all, your most favorite athletes, they're all doing Pilates. Every football team has a Pilates instructor. Basketball teams have them. They have reformers in these stadiums that they're working out on. Why? Because it helps prevent injury. Because here's the deal. If you're super, super strong, like all you do is lift weights, you are tight. And that means you're going to tear something. If you're super, super flexible, you are loose. And that means you're going to dislocate something. So we have to make sure that we are only as flexible as we are strong and vice versa. And so that's what Pilates does really well. It starts with your center. Your center is not just your abs. Pilates is not your replacement for a core workout. It can be. You don't have to do sit-ups when you're done, but it is not only core. So the muscles that Pilates uses are the muscles around your abdominals, of course, but also the muscles of your back, your shoulder girdle, and your hips. So all the muscles around your pelvis. So what it does is when you're doing a move, every move asks you to stabilize your axial skeleton. So that's all the muscles around your spine. Then you're going to move your arms and your legs and see if you can keep that connection. And on a beginner exercises, it's challenging when you're new, but doable. As you get more and more advanced, things start to flip upside down and go onto the side and do things on asymmetrically. And it really does challenge those connections. So I love nerding out about this. To go to your question, is it different than yoga or the same as yoga? Yoga and Pilates are similar in that they can be done on a mat. But that's only one modality of Pilates. So Pilates has the mat and then has all this equipment. But if you do mat Pilates, you can still do yoga. It's not a replacement for it. In fact, I do yoga and it's very different, but that's where people get it like a little similar because it can be done on a mat.
Okay. Well, that sums up everything for the Pilates versus yoga. And, you know, I learned a lot about this because when I thought of Pilates, I remember those infomercials where you have people in those little machines and they're pulling a little string down. And that's why I really never got into it. I'm like, well, what are likelihoods of me walking into a place and being on a machine doing that all the time? So I was discouraged from it. But now that you're saying this Pilates factor and also the concept of being too tight, strength training. So for the gentlemen out there or women, or we won't even generalize the genders here, anyone who's into strength training and that's it, guess what? You're going to be prone to injury. Mm-hmm. If you're a person and you're always just stretching all the time, oh, I'm so limber and flexible, then you can possibly dislocate something. So I like how you brought those two concepts into play. And we have to find that happy medium, which is going to be Pilates because it works the core, which is so important. Now, speaking of Pilates, who is it for? Can it be for any age group? Can it be for anyone starting out in their life later? You know, they may be overweight or they may have some prone to injuries in the past. Who is it for?
Yeah. So this is a really great question. So Pilates can be for anyone because it really will meet you where you are. There's over 500 basic exercises. So truly what you need to first find out is make sure that you find an instructor that you resonate with, that understands your goals. And just like there are thousands of trainers from all different backgrounds, there's the same with Pilates. And so your first Pilates experience, if you don't love it, what I highly recommend is that you find another teacher. There's questions you should ask. You should be asking questions like, did you do a comprehensive training? So a comprehensive training means they were trained on all the equipment. So they have a well-versed background. Now they might not have access to all the equipment, but having that knowledge means they spent a significant amount of time training to become a teacher. So you're going to have, they'll have a lot more references to help make sure the moves meet you where you are. Other things you can look for, hours trained, like 450, 900 hours, those kinds of things are what you're looking for.
Hmm. Interesting. That's good. Thank you for that information, Leslie. And this is why you're an expert at what you do. And I can see why you train so many people around the world. Absolutely fascinating history behind Pilates and also the purpose behind it. What are some quick benefits? Like if someone were to start doing Pilates today, what is something they could start to see maybe improving down the road? Or if for a person's living a fast-paced life, why should they take out time to even consider Pilates when they can just go to the gym and just run on the treadmill, do some quick dumbbells, get a quick sweat in, and then come out and say, I worked out?
Yeah. I mean, you can do all those things. And I'd probably ask you, how's that working for you? Because if you're still listening to this, you probably have something, like you're probably thinking there's a little bit more that you need to do. So here's the deal. It's not Pilates versus, it's Pilates and. So I never want to take the weights away from people. I lift weights. Okay. I do a CrossFit class. Now I don't get injured because I do Pilates consistently. But what I would say is when you first start anything, the first benefits are going to be a little bit more, you know, you'll have higher energy. What I always say is after your first Pilates class or after any Pilates class, you're going to feel a little taller. Like you're, because your core is actually holding your axial skeleton up, you're going to be taller. Here's what's cool about tallerness. That's a new word we're making up. It helps with your posture. Why is posture so important? There's a couple reasons why posture is so important. And it continues to get better over the more you do Pilates. Or you don't have to think about your posture, which is amazing. But one of them is your digestive system. If you have poor posture, your digestive system is not going to have the space it needs to do its job. If your digestive system can't do what it's going to do, you don't have a sleep cycle that you're going to love because the two go together, which means you cannot live a purposeful life because you're going to be a stressed out person. Now, for my busy people, here's why Pilates is amazing. I don't have time to have a leg day at the gym, an arm day at the gym, cardio on this day. I just don't have it. Like I only have so much time in a week. And so what I love is on the very busy weeks that I have, if I only can get my Pilates practice in, I am going to have done a full body workout both of those times. So it's very efficient, very effective. Once you're more advanced in Pilates, and I don't mean like a super advanced person, but just you've gone enough to flow one exercise into the next, you're not pausing to learn something and do it, you're going to get cardio. So you also don't have to hit the treadmill anymore because you've got the cardio in your Pilates. There's a cardio practice, heart rate gets up, it goes down. It's kind of like a HIIT training class. So that's the first benefits. Over time, flexibility happens because you're eccentrically contracting you're isometrically contracting muscles, a lot of them. So like, for example, I'll be making my hamstring work while it's extended. So I'm actually stretching the muscle, but trying to activate at the same time. That action creates flexibility. If I were just to hang over my legs, eventually in a couple minutes, I'll feel flexible. But if I'm just doing that passively, I'm just hanging out of my legs, tomorrow I'm going to be as tight as I was before I stretched. Doesn't stay. But when you isometrically contract the muscles and then you stretch them, you get to keep that flexibility, which is so cool for my people who are a little tighter, right? Then as we continue on, because I want to go back to the people listening to this, you're trying to live your purposeful life. You become more connected to yourself. Because when you are doing Pilates, unlike your weights, unlike your running, you cannot think about anything else. You can't. You have to focus on what is moving where and from where. Like you're literally focused on where it's touching the mat right now. Where am I pressing from? Where do I feel this? All these things. You can't think about it. So you actually get to calm your mind. You get to get away from that chatter and get really connected to yourself. All of a sudden, all those plates that were spinning, all those things you were worried about, you get space from them. And then you actually can go back to them with a different perspective. People who take classes with me, they have quit jobs with bad bosses because they're like, I can do hard things. And so I'm going to have this hard conversation. I'm going to go to this thing. You start to become more confident in yourself over time. And that's the cool part. Like that's the coolest benefit. A little hard to measure, but amazing.
I love how you said that. You tied into the fact that it does help you to focus more on yourself because you have to at that point in time. And for the time-sensitive individuals out here who are doing a lot of things, wearing a lot of hats, I get it. Leslie gets it. And when you're doing something like Pilates, you're able to do all the things, working everything all at once, where you don't have to keep going back to the gym or having to have certain days where you go to the gym or anything else. And this is not to speak ill on gyms. I still go to gyms. But if you're in a schedule where you just feel like you are telling yourself that you can't work out because you don't have time, this is a good option to consider because you can put everything all into one session and to really help yourself. And I like the idea, too. You talked about how it helps us to improve our digestive systems because right now as we're rolling into fall season, we all know this, cold season is approaching. And I know that we've been dealing with COVID and a lot of other different things, but let's not forget about the common cold season. All right. That's still coming around the corner. It's not going to say, well, you know what? You've all been dealing with this, so I'm not going to come around this year. It's going to be here. And your digestive system is a big part of that. It's your second brain and how it communicates with your brain. And so your immunity is associated with that. So with proper digestion, you're going to actually improve that immunity and help yourself out long term. And this improves your mood, your emotions, and we get back to that self-care, right? And I love, Leslie, that you're talking about self-care isn't selfish. I love that phrase. As we're on this journey of our human mess and we're trying to take care of ourselves, people will often challenge us in doing that. Sometimes close friends, close family, because they see us changing. For you, was there a moment in time where you started really focus on yourself? Did someone call you selfish or do you feel like someone was thinking that you were selfish? I mean, what brought this phrase about for you?
Yeah. So couple things. One, yes, people definitely in my life are like, oh, well, you're so busy doing those, like going to the gym or working out or going for the, like that. I wish you would like, it's like, you don't care about us. And it's like, no, you're here at my house all weekend. I can, what's 1 hour, you know? And so part of it was like, just instinctually, I am someone who likes to have time for myself. That is how I refuel. I am what I call a high functioning introvert, meaning I absolutely can hang out with people, but I need to be left alone when we're done, you know? And so, so I was hearing that. And then because I did teach a lot of women, and I heard many of them canceling their sessions because their kid needed to go here or do this thing. And I'm not saying that the kid doesn't have rights to do those things. What I am saying, though, is that the parent's life, the things that made her feel good, were actually put on the back burner. Well, guess what? You brought up being cold, getting cold season. Well, she got sick. And then she tore a shoulder because she was trying to put the kid's bag in the back seat and she wasn't connected because why? She wasn't taking care of herself. And so all these aches, pains, injuries we have, they're all preventable. The colds are all preventable. If we take care of ourselves, if we prioritize our health first, if you truly love the people in your life, you will make sure you're 100% available for them. And if you're tired, exhausted, weak, you can't be. You can't be. That whole air mask on first from the airplanes, y'all, it is not just for the plane. It is for life. If you are a parent out there, your kids' actions are caught, not taught. So you, if you really do believe that they can be anything on this planet, they can have whatever they want, and you're like playing second fiddle to your own life for them, they're going to grow up thinking, I have to choose between what I want and being a parent or what I want and the people around me. And so it is important that we are truly clear on what makes us feel good, what fills our cup, what keeps us healthy and strong. It's going to be different for my person, for my busy people. I'm just going to say Pilates is going to help you do that because it is going to give you that time alone. It is going to strengthen your whole body, but it cannot be selfish care. And then because people like science. So there is a psychologist who I interviewed on my podcast, and she talked about that we have to stop well-being shaming. And so if someone is shaming your well-being, like, oh, it must be nice for you to go for a run on your lunch break, you have to say, yeah, I'm really glad I take time for myself. Do you need some help doing that for you? Like, instead of just like, oh, that person with their passive aggressive comment, like just calling out that clearly this person doesn't think that they deserve that. And so, yeah, they're being a little crappy to you, but let's bring it out and like, let them know, because it's not nice. It is essential.
It's very essential. And I like that you mentioned that. And to go back to your podcast is called, what is the title of it here?
Be It Till You See It.
Be It Till You See It. Uh-huh. I like that. I like that concept because it is something that you're creating the action of the cause. So here's the thing. We live a cause and effect life, and a lot of us living in the effect part of our lives. We're waiting for something to happen for us, as opposed to saying, I need to do these actions, do things in a certain way to make this result become my reality at some point. Mm-hmm. And I like how you said that with your title of your podcast. To go back to that psychologist, the shaming thing, it's so funny that you brought that up because I was going to say that today. It's interesting that we live in a society where a lot of people are being shamed for a lot of things. And one conversation that I don't hear a lot about is about shaming for taking care of ourselves. And this is something that we need to talk more about because this is implying, this impacts our mental health and well-being. Because if you make someone feel bad about taking care of themselves or for being in shape or for having a certain regimen that they do that works for them, because your life may be different than theirs, doesn't mean that they don't love you any less. It doesn't mean that they're self-centered or they're selfish. It means they are self-focused. And what do you need to do to get on that track? Well, mm-hmm. I have this. I have responsibilities. I have these things. And all the excuses come up. I've heard them before. Guess what? I can make excuses too. I can say all the responsibilities I have, but I still make out time for myself. And this is so critical, Leslie, that you're saying this because the audience, we all need to hear this, that self-care isn't selfish. It mm-hmm. is being self-focused. And by looking at things like Pilates, looking at ways to improve your body, improve the balance in your life, it can actually help you produce more out here in the world and show up 100% for the people that you really care about. And I love that. So speaking of loving, this conversation, Leslie, is one of the ages, and I'm completely enamored by the fact that you are here today sharing this wonderful journey, sharing your Pilates experience, sharing your wonderful podcast. And I want to know, where can people find out more about what you're doing with your online classes, your podcast, and also the things that you're sharing around the world?
Yeah. So thank you. This is so fun. We have to do it again.
We have to.
So you all, if you are interested in Pilates, I do have online classes, as onlinepilatesclasses.com founder would say. And you can get a free class at onlinepilatesclasses.com/free. So please do that. We also have options. If you've never done it before, there is an intro series. So don't be intimidated by it. If you like the sound of my voice, my podcast is Be It Till You See It. You can listen to it
anywhere. She's got a great voice. I like
anyway,
it.
Yeah. Anywhere you listen to podcasts. And also you can watch on YouTube. So you can watch Adrian's, you can watch mine. And you can really feel ready to go. Because as you mentioned, I named it Be It Till You See It because I don't like people waiting. I cannot wait for the thing. Like if you are on this path of purpose, you cannot wait till X happens to then go work on it. You have to be the person who would have that already, and you'll start to see it go. So that's the mission I'm on, because I do know that not everyone is ready to do Pilates with me, but I still want to make an impact on your life because you are amazing, and you have to be more, to be a little bit more selfish around your time, please. And that's a terrible word, but we don't have another word for it. But I liked your self-focus one, Adrian. So there's that. Be more self-focused so that you can do things on this planet. You have a purpose. And if you don't take care of you, it doesn't get done.
If you don't take care of you, it doesn't get done. I love that ending phrase. And to think of these changes that we've talked about today, the concepts and the purposes behind taking care of yourself, what Leslie explained with Pilates benefits, I want you to go back and listen and think about how you can begin to center your life and take care of you and to make those changes. And remember this, Maya Angelou, great poet, she said this. She says, many people, they admire the beauty of the butterfly, but very rarely are they willing to admit the changes it has gone through to achieve its beauty. And we want to help you create a beautiful life, a more purposeful life, a more life that's centered and healthy and about you. So go and check out Leslie's information. Follow Leslie on social media and set up a time to talk to her at some point. She's a wonderful person. I know that you'll be completely blown away by the experience. And Leslie, I want to end with one more question for you, my friend. Mm. What does living a purposeful life mean to you?
Mm. You know, I think it just means being true to who you are. And that's the hardest thing we can do. Because sometimes that means facing all the things and going back to, oh my gosh, Maya, and that quote, like that means facing the who you were before you're a butterfly and going through those things. And, you know, we go back to that perfect is boring. It's okay if it was an imperfect story, an imperfect journey, but living a purposeful life is not one of perfection, is one that is being true to you.
It's being true to you. And in your words, perfect is boring, and it's not about being perfect.
That's
right. It's about trying out things and being flexible. Leslie, it's been a wonderful time, my friend, and I look forward to having you on again.
Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you for listening to Your Purposeful Life today, and I'm your host, Adrian Starks. Download this podcast on any platform of your choice by going to our website, yourpurposeful.life. Join me on my social media channels and be a part of the Your Purposeful Life community. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that like button with a purpose. Let's help you shape your purpose your way.